The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland hosting once again. And today I'm joined by Mason Stevens. How you doing, Mason? All right?
Morning, Matt. How are we?
Yeah, very good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Sat in the sunshine.
Oh, very nice too. Whereabouts are you?
I'm at the hotel at Tortona.
Oh, all right. Italy?
On my way back up, yeah.
Yeah, that's
pondering, awesome. Pondering whether to stay here for the weekend or move myself into France today.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. Where's the weather going to be better?
Exactly that, and the better food. So I'll probably end up staying here and leaving early Monday morning.
No, fair enough. Don't blame you. So how on earth did you end up as a truck driver, long and short of it?
I actually wanted to be a Royal Marine all the while I was growing up.
Yeah.
At 16, although my dad was in and around trucks most of his life, Middle East, etc., like they were back then.
Yeah.
At 16, I failed the Royal Marines entry test on my eyesight. And I'd gone through school not knowing that I needed to wear glasses at all.
No, right.
Yeah, just one of those. You know, we didn't have, we weren't pushed like it is now, is it, like health and things like that?
Yeah.
So dad had been, say, driving. So it's just something I fell back into and literally left school, started work in a local nursery that grew tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers.
Yeah.
And that place gave me a really good work ethic. You know, it was up early, 4 o'clock before the heat come up into the greenhouses. It was all under glass, like 6 acres of glass, 16 acres of glass, sorry.
Yeah.
And when I passed my test at 17, the owner just said to me one night, do you want to run the VW Transporter up to the market tonight, Spitalfields Market? And I used to go with the lads anyway to deliver it.
Yeah.
When it was the old Spitalfields, I don't know if you can remember that. Yeah, and it was the new Spitalfields then, and I used to run this VW Transporter up. It had a rear engine on it, pickup truck.
Yeah.
Because back then, you couldn't drive a 7.5-tonne on a car licence until you was 18.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I was 18, started driving the 7.5-tonner up there, and that was it. It just clicked there, and I thought, yeah, this is definitely where I want to be now for the rest of my life.
Right, okay.
So and it went from there, really.
Yeah, so was it running the markets for the same people, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Mm. So sometimes we'd do Spitalfields, Covent Garden. And then what I started to do is the local greengrocers and that to the little village I lived in, there's a little town called New Romney and Rye, either side of it. I would then pick up their stuff to bring back for them, which was my little sideline, you know. And then at weekends, I'd go around dropping off spuds and things like that in my car and all that. And it was really, really, really good for about 6 months. Obviously, then the weather changed. And I saw a job advertised for a European van driver.
Right.
18 years old, went and saw this firm. They gave me the start. And I was on my way to Stuttgart within, like, 5 hours.
Wow.
At 18 years old, you know, driving this beaten-up old Leyland. It was basically a big Sherpa.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Sherpas?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, it was basically one of them. I'll never forget the reg, G167 UKL.
Yeah.
And I'd done regulars. We used to load out at Stuttgart for a laboratory in Edinburgh.
Right.
It was a regular weekly thing for me, down to Stuttgart. They'd build the machine inside the van almost and then pump it straight back through to Edinburgh on a tip Edinburgh on a Friday.
Right, okay. So was it empty out to Stuttgart, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to do like London deliveries on a Monday, delivering samples of fabric, and they were literally like the size of a skateboard, but sometimes you'd have 60 drops around the west end of London.
Yeah.
I'd do that on a Monday and then be in Stuttgart for like Tuesday afternoon. They'd build it overnight into the back of the van while I was sleeping across the seats.
Yeah.
Right, you look back on it, you think, how was I allowed to do that? 18 years old, in Germany, sleeping across the seats, you know. Yeah. He wouldn't do it now to someone, would you? It's not the way to introduce them to the industry, is it?
No, it isn't. But when the likes of you and me are keen as mustard at that age, you'll just do anything, won't you? It doesn't, doesn't faze you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. And then they gave me a Leyland Roadrunner after that with a pod on it.
Right.
I mean, again, I could never get up in that pod now. I wouldn't fit through the hatch, but... And that was all over. I'd done all over Europe there, but... One thing about where I live down at Ashford, don't I, in Kent? And being based in our area, Matt, 25, 30 years ago, every job driving was European.
Yes.
Because so close to the ports, isn't it?
Yes.
It'd be like, you know, I should think anything up near Felixstowe Way has always been containers and.
Yeah,
you know,
containers, ferry trailers. The vast majority of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I started on the 7.5, you know, driving a 7.5 ton. I thought I was the bee's knees with that.
Yeah, we all did.
you do when you think back of it. And I always give time for those that are doing it now. I always think, you know, if that's what he wants to do, he's learning the right way. It's like an apprenticeship, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Vans, 7.5 tonners.
Yeah.
You know, that van, that's a Sherpa van, the brake pads in it, the company saved money by putting Ford Cortina brake pads on it. They didn't last as long, and they would only last about 8 months in the van.
Right.
But I got down to changing them on the side of the road. I got it down to 20 minutes, both front wheels off, changed the pads. And I used to carry spare pads with me. Drivers aren't allowed to change your headlight bulb now.
Some of them aren't, no. But you question your sanity again. But looking back at it, you know, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah.
Just to save. I get trying to save the company money, you know, with various bits and pieces. But actually, sort of effectively servicing the vehicle on the side of the road is it's a whole other step, isn't it? Really,
it is. Yeah. You know, you think, wow. But then is that what's geared me up for further in life? It must have been. Because it didn't deter me at all.
Yeah, fair enough. So how long were you on the 7.5 tonner for?
Until I was 20.
Yeah.
And my dad then, as he put it, wanted to be more local, so just started doing Italy.
Right.
Because he just before then, he'd been one of the first that were running up to Moscow.
Right.
For taking Mars products up there.
Yes.
I think that's how I got in touch with you the first time, wasn't it? Dad had wrote a thing on the Ryder Motel out in Poland.
That's right, yeah.
And it's, I think you mentioned it in your Kepstow book, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dad was doing that, and then he decided, like I say, he wanted to be more local.
Yeah.
And he got a job double manning for a firm out of Maidstone. Obviously, I was only 20 at the time.
Yeah.
And Dad said, well, you know, we'll just go out there as a double man team. I ain't got a license, Dad. Nah, that'd be all right. And I drove for them up until I was nearly 21 years old.
Yeah. Nobody actually bothered to check if you've got a license.
No one bothered at all. And I like to say the old man had morals because he wouldn't let me drive in the UK. No, I bet not drive it in England, son, now, if you get nicked.
Yeah.
So we done that. I mean, that was easy, and you know, that was an easy job, to be fair. And it was great to spend nearly a year with my dad in the truck double manning.
Yeah,
because you certainly get to know someone when you're double manning.
Yes, you do. Yes, yeah.
But obviously, my dad's passed now, and I look back on that year, and that was a real father son time, if you like. You know, really good experience. And obviously, he was old hand at the job as well. I mean. Blimey, I think until the day he died, I don't think he knew a motorway existed in France. He's, oh, no, we run the national this way. Oh, no, there's little roaches up there. Oh, great, yeah. No, he's always pleased to see me. And I think, you probably haven't been here for 10 years. How's he pleased to see you? But I get it now.
Yeah.
And then I literally passed my test 3 weeks after my 21st birthday party.
Yeah.
And got a job.
Yeah, who for?
Got a job with a company called FMA, the transport manager, lived around the corner from mum and dad.
Yeah.
You know, and been a friend in the pub, and he was actually doing Moscow with dad as well, Colin.
Right.
So I got a job there, loved it, had a nearly new 95 we were pulling Eurolock, well, back then they were tilts, sorry, for LKW Walters.
Right.
So it was one drop Italy, one collection. You know, it was a dream. It was a dream job at 21 years old. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, and then the November of that year is when quite a lot changed for me, because I had my road, I had an accident out in Italy at 21.
Right.
November the 6th, I was crossing the road and I was on a pedestrian crossing. I got hit by a 18 tonner.
Flippin' heck.
Yeah, into hospital. I was in hospital. Well, that was, say, the 6th of November. I come out of hospital just before Christmas. Mum and dad flew out because they were told I was, you know, I was about to go, come and say goodbye, sort of thing. Yeah, so as a result, I've got pins in my leg, arm, and 13 plates in my face.
Blimey.
Yeah. But he didn't, you know, I just wanted to get back to Italy.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, Italy's always felt a bit of home.
Yeah.
Because I was treated so well out there, you know, in towards the end, you know, mum come out, still a little boy at 21, aren't I?
Yeah.
Mum come out and stayed, and I don't know, do you know the sisters at, well, it's now, it's actually called Alcatraz, but everyone knows it.
Yeah.
One of the sisters. You know, Phil was brilliant to mum and dad and me, so I've always got like a strong connection with Phil when I'm in the area as well.
Yeah.
I made national news out there, the young 21-year-old, they described me as Superman flying through the air when the lorry hit me, because it knocked me over a ditch so no one could get to me.
What were you crossing the road for? Just...
Ask directions. Yeah.
God.
And I don't know if it's the shock or something, but my hand had clenched up with the piece of paper I'd written down with the company name in.
Yeah.
And literally, Matt, you know in Italy they've got the black and yellow signs, haven't they?
Yep.
If I'd have driven another, I don't know, 150 metres, I would have seen the sign for the company.
Flippin' heck. You know, and it just shows you how life can change in an instant, really. Just something as simple and innocent as just wanting to ask directions because you're not sure by doing the right thing, and you get skittled.
Yeah. You know, literally 100 yards more and I wouldn't have been in that situation.
Yeah.
That put me off the road. That was 1996. That put me off the road till probably the middle of 1997.
Yeah.
I went back for FMA then, and you know, everyone, the lawyer, solicitors and that got involved, and I was like, okay, and I got a massive payout for it.
Well, right.
And I never set out to get that, you know. So I brought up, first of all, you know, well, you must buy a property. Yeah, and then I brought a lorry.
Right. Were you apprehensive going back to Italy on your first trip back there, or just completely unfazed by it?
No, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Done well to mention, yeah, I was really apprehensive because I was like, we know what the traffic's like in Italy. We know how mad they drive.
Yeah.
And I found it really strange. I wasn't a problem in London or France, but as soon as I got into Italy, I felt really uneasy about the place.
Yeah.
Over the course of a couple of months, you know, I got back to being normal there.
Yeah.
And obviously now I love it. I mean, I actively look for work that's going to take me to Italy.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back the first, especially around the area, and then after about 6 months, I had a day off sort of thing, you know, waiting for a collection. And I wasn't far away. Because it was a place called Nerviano, which is only about 15K from Arluno.
Yeah.
And I thought, I went up to where I got hit.
Yeah.
I parked opposite the road like I did last time. And I remember getting out. I had a left-hand drive Magnum when I got hit. And I kicked the tyre thinking, I must get that changed when I get back. Anyway, I pulled up and I got out. So I walked around the front of the truck because I had right-hand drive the second time. And the lad on the forecourt recognised me.
Blimey.
And he was like, English. I said, yeah, he said, accident. I was like, yeah. And he was like, wow, you know, you look really well. I was like, he said, we thought you were dead. At the time, I supported Manchester United Football Club.
Yeah.
And I had a Man United duvet, and someone opened up the lorry and nicked my duvet off the bed while I was laying in the field. I don't support United anymore.
Fair enough. But I suppose going back like that must have given you a bit of closure to it and made you feel... sort of, not necessarily more at ease, but it kind of, because obviously it's like people always say, you know, if you fall off the bike, you've got to get straight back on. But falling off a bike and being hit by a truck, hospitalising you, are two very different things, really, aren't they? So,
yeah. And yeah, I think you're right there. I think it probably did give me closure because I could then see. I mean, I was always told it wasn't my fault. And unfortunately, the guy, this was like 7 o'clock in the morning. Unfortunately, the guy that hit me was over the limit from the night before.
Yeah.
So he got heavily done for it. I suppose you could say quite rightly so. But in my eyes, he didn't set out that morning to hurt anyone. He did, you know.
Yeah.
But then I could sort of piece it together. Why was I walking here? Why was I walking there? And then it all became real, if you like, because I obviously couldn't remember much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was nice to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I drove past it about 3 years ago without realising where I was because they'd obviously put a few more industrial units up now, this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And it's literally, the garage is, as the sign comes up on the right, Nerviano, I was like, oh, the garage is gone. Now it's just a disused, you know, there's no shop or anything on the garage, just like an automated one.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I'm there. I know where I am now.
Yeah.
my spot.
But I suppose as well, if you'd never been back there, until then, that could have well have brought it all back, like recently, and it could have been quite negative for you. If you see what I mean?
Yeah. It would have had it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I think going back when I did the first time, that put it back together for me, and then I could understand why I was probably crossing, how he hit me.
Yeah,
because as I was walking across the road, he was overtaking a car transporter.
Right.
He was going too fast, basically. Round the car, he thought, I'll whip round the car transporter.
Yeah.
And, there's a young 21-year-old Englishman in his way.
Yes.
So, I took the windscreen out with my face. That's why my face was so badly damaged.
Flipping egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad used to say, the last thing I said was, look out, comes an Iveco. You know, you make light of it, but it could have been, you know, it's close to death, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Near-death experience, as they say.
Absolutely. But also as well, if you can kind of make light of it as well, because you've come out the other end, it's not nice, is not the right term, but being able to have a bit of a joke about it is it means, you know, you're over it as such.
Yeah. Now I see it as a story to tell the grandkids.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it didn't put you off Italy, and I often find that people just seem to have such a strong attachment to Italy. More so than any other European country. People who seem to run there just want to do it forever. You know.
And
people who, like myself, I'm not a massive fan of Italy as such. I'd rather be going to Spain, Portugal, or East. Whereas you're hankering, looking for work for there. It doesn't particularly bother me where I go, if you see what I mean. People doing Italy seem to have a real, real passion for it.
Yeah, and that's very true. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who I work with on Boyles. He was at a drop of the hat. He would take a Barcelona or a Madrid over in Italy. And he said to me once, he says, I think it's sometimes where you went first on your own.
Could be.
And I've asked a couple of people that, and you know, but the Italy thing, and there's still lads down here that was doing it, you know, when I was here 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a lad that drives for Goss International, Diesel Dave. I remember him when I was, you know, he was then probably mid-30s. And now he's like mid-50s, 60.
Yeah.
And I remember him all those years ago, and he's still doing exactly the same run sort of thing, you know. Yeah. Some of the Rogers drivers.
Yeah.
Number one, who died, you know, Don died a couple of years ago down below St. Diz in the truck. But I remember Don from years ago.
Yeah.
Because when you've had time away from Italy and you come back to it, like you say, there's still the same people down here doing it every week.
Yeah. Yeah, and Matt Campbell, he's another one mad for it, isn't he?
Yeah. He can't, you know, and funnily enough, I'm where I am now is probably one of his favourite places.
Yeah, other than Southend-on-Sea.
Yeah, other than Southend-on-Sea, cruising around in the Scania all weekend.
Yeah, or a Lotus.
Yeah. What? Why a yellow one, though? Come on. he's turned, Matt's a really good friend, as it goes, you know. He's one of the like, I've got like six really good customers on my hands, and I don't need any more.
Yeah,
but yeah, Matt's been a top lad to me. Actually, I will give him credit for that.
Yeah,
so and he knows as soon as an Italy's on their cards, he knows that he if he can't do it, he will pass it over to me.
Right, fair enough. So, is it generally the north of Italy you're doing rather than heading further south?
Yeah, although I'm back off of this trip. Funnily enough, the guy I've loaded for this time is one of Matt's customers that Matt passed over. So, it does work both ways, doesn't it? He does give me a bit. But I'm going down to Rome, I think, in a fortnight.
Yeah.
And but I haven't been down that far probably in 6-7 years.
Oh, crikey. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the other thing. But living where I do, like, because I had a spell on Boyle's from Northern Ireland, but obviously where I lived, I could get down, tip and load, and get back to the UK virtually in 5 days from the north of Italy.
Yeah.
When I was on there, we used to have a regular collection out of Turin, near Turin Airport. And the first tip used to be Davis Turner's at Dartford.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be able to load that on a clean card Friday afternoon, and I'd be sat indoors at 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Yeah.
It is handy where we live.
Yeah, not being weekended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I've no problem being. I don't think I could go back to being multiple weeks away anymore.
Yeah, just the odd one here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I know you tour boys have done some crazy times, like 2-3 months away. But yeah, as I've got older now, I appreciate being home a bit more.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. After a slight shift in my work sort of lifestyle, people quite often ask me if I'll go back to it, and you know, I always say never, but it's once you've got a home life and a social life, the thought of going away again for multiple months at a time, just think, yes, the pull is there to go and do it, but equally, I want to be home and doing what I want to do as well. So, yeah.
Do you think some of that's, Matt, you've done it?
There's quite possibly, yeah.
I mean, you've covered everywhere in your previous job, so there can't be anywhere that you haven't been to now that you'd think, oh, I'd like to run the truck there.
Yeah, the only other than like the little principality, I've not been to Gibraltar, Andorra, and Bosnia is the one that has eluded me so far, sort of within Europe. I mean, Moldova is another one. There was talk of a job on the pet van for Moldova. It never quite come off, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, I guess it is to a degree, you know, I don't want to sound big headed, but sort of been there, done that as such.
But
it would be nice to return to quite a few of them, but yeah, just maybe one at a time and then, then trundle back rather
than get home rather than have a couple of weeks away.
That's right, yeah.
You wussy.
Oh, no, I was asked to do some holiday cover this week as well by another friend of ours, and he said, I think you need to come and do it just to see if you've still got a shift left in you, because he knows what I'm up to during the week. and I thought, well, I'm pretty sure I've still got a shift in me, but I don't know if I want to try and prove it or not.
No, yeah, you haven't got anything to prove anymore either, have you? The passport speaks for itself, I'm sure. Right.
Oh dear. So how long were you, so obviously at 21, 22, you were obviously running Italy, you were still working for other people.
I got paid out and I applied for my O-licence.
Yeah.
And back then you could apply for an interim, and within, I think it was within 4 weeks, I had the authorization.
Yeah.
And I brought a 385 Renault turbo liner.
Yeah. Well, high roof one?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It'd been on for British gypsum.
Yeah.
And the reason they'd got rid of it is because everyone was just going over to 6x2s then.
Right.
It was on an end plate, twin tanks on it. I say twin tanks, I think there were 300 litres each side. But what I always remember is it was blue chassis, white cab. And that's what I always wanted, that as a truck, blue chassis, blue and white. I wanted it to be blue and white.
Any particular reason?
No, I don't know. I really don't know. No, I haven't never figured that. Yeah, it did. I don't know why, but it always did.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw it, I thought, I want that truck.
Yeah.
And I brought it. And the guy I was working for is still a friend now. I was chatting to him yesterday morning. A guy called Chaz Mortimer. And some people may remember he was a TT racer. The guy I was driving for when I brought it, I literally brought the truck, got the O-license set up, and he offered me a job in his office. And I said, well, yeah, I've just brought this truck. And he said, well, your dad's not working. Put your dad in the truck and you work in my office. And I was, so we'd done that for 18 months.
Yeah.
And over the course of 18 months, as the work was coming in, we at one stage, me and Chaz were running 19 trucks down to Italy and back every week.
Blimey.
All on groupage, yeah. But by the end of like 18 months, I had four of my own.
Wow.
So, and then I said to Chaz, look, you know, I'm going to try and run it on me, you know, went away and done my own thing sort of thing.
Yeah.
Still very good friends with Chaz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've worked for anyone that I'm not friends with still. And so, still do work for.
So you then had four trucks. What, and when you sort of split off on your own, do you stay in the office or do you go out on the road yourself?
No, I went back on the road myself.
Running from the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was harder back then because you obviously didn't have internet and,
yeah,
you know, the communications that you've got now with drivers and that. I mean, I can remember having a phone bill for one of the trucks. And it was like £500 for the month. And the driver had never had a phone before. And he'd obviously sitting out in Italy just on the phone to his wife for like a couple of hours at a time, not realising how much it was costing.
Yeah.
So, bow-legged John, yeah.
I remember when I worked for Camax and we had the in-cab phones, but they were locked, which a lot of the younger generation won't realise or understand. Yeah, the phone was in there, but you could dial like the office, the workshop, I think 999, and that was about it. Anybody could phone you, but you just couldn't phone out, and it just seems mad now, sort of say it out loud like that. But that's just how it was, because again, otherwise you'd end up with people with huge phone bills,
either
unintentionally or intentionally.
And you know, I don't know of a company that offers phones anymore. 9 out of 10 now.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got contract phones and it's so easy.
Yeah.
You just take it for granted they're going to have a phone, aren't you?
Don't Absolutely, you just... yeah. Yeah, and this was a conversation a friend of mine was having recently, and he was arguing to the company, he's like, why should I use my phone? And I get it. If it's going to be costing you money, especially in when you're out and about in Europe, and if you're out in Europe for a long time. It's a valid point. I don't know how many the larger companies around the UK have cab phones or offer them. That'd be interesting to hear, actually, really. Whether many people are offered a work phone.
I suppose there must be some really clever bod somewhere that says that, you know, the company are saving X amount of pounds. You mean you think someone like Maritime, if they don't give phones out, must be saving them a fortune on phone? Because phone contracts were a real big thing back in the day, weren't they?
If you got
a phone contract. It was like signing up for a 20-year mortgage, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Everyone was pay-as-you-go, really, weren't they?
Yeah. Putting the tenner on and then phoning home to get someone else to put another tenner on for the last thing you got back.
And you said you were limited by the amount of letters in a text as well. You could put something like 35 or 40, and that was a set cost.
Do you remember there used to be little cheats going around? Now and again, someone would send you a cheat and say, type hash, then like four digits, then, you know, hash, and it would give you free calls and texts for like 30 days or something. I remember that being a thing as well.
Yeah. the evolution of the phone alongside transport is quite amazing, really, how much it's evolved and changed when you think about it.
Well, I wonder if it's been for the, obviously, as we're getting older, I still wonder, you know, has it been for the better, all this? Because it's enabled anyone to do the job, hasn't it?
Or true.
To be able to do the job.
Yeah. If you look at it, if you'd had, say, SatNav or Google Maps at the age of 21, you probably wouldn't have got run over, essentially, because you would have known where you were going.
You know what, Matt, I've never looked at that. I've never looked at it that way. Of course I wouldn't have done that, because I would have been up there, turned right, then a quick left, and into Arlo's place, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's... but then...
Yeah, I've never thought of that.
Yeah, but then it's kind of... These things in life happen, and that sort of shapes our life. You know, if that hadn't happened to you... You wouldn't have got paid out. You wouldn't have bought a truck. and we probably wouldn't be sat here talking now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's very true.
It's funny how life works out sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
well, that was the first time, you know, when I had those trucks, that, you know, and then I went a bit off the rails.
Right.
For the first time, and sort of life comes crashing down around you, brings you back to reality, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So how did it sort of go? What went wrong then? What drivers or?
I got involved in bringing cigarettes back through the country.
Right, okay.
You know, I hold my hands up to it.
Yeah.
Brought a full load of cigarettes back through. 3,610,000 Super Kings, to be precise. That's not quite personal usage.
I was going to say, you've got to have quite a severe smoking habit for
yeah
to be bringing that. Right, okay.
I went to prison for that.
Right.
I got four and a half years.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously served 2 1/4. Big confiscation, the Proceeds of Crime Act against me and that.
Yeah. So I guess it was just a case of someone dangling a carrot, and unfortunately you just...
Exactly that, yeah. It was, you know, I
saw the pound coins and...
I did, yeah, and it wasn't long after 9/11, and work had really slowed up.
Yeah.
And, it was... The word greed has to come into it, doesn't it? I was greedy. Yeah. I thought, yeah, I can do that, you know.
Yeah.
I've never defended what I've done, and I certainly don't want it to sound like I'm proud of what I've done, because I'm not. Because it's not just me. It was the effect it had on my family as well, you know.
And your other drivers, I guess, as well.
The firm literally closed up overnight.
Yeah.
Big customers like Brynor and that. Didn't want anything to do. I was doing quite a bit for Laser Transport down at Lim at the time.
Yeah.
And their payment terms used to be 60 days, end of month.
Yeah.
And they paid me up the next day because they didn't want the association.
Blimey. So, I mean,
yeah.
I presume you came back into Dover and got a tug.
Well, it was at the Channel Tunnel. Yeah, it was one of my drivers. Yeah, it was one of the drivers.
Right.
Yeah.
Was he aware of it then?
Or, yes. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fairness, he wasn't, but then he was because one of the pallets fell over when he was loading it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Me, the driver, and my transport manager all got done for conspiracy.
Yeah.
It took 2 years to go to court. Yeah. Where we all got sentenced.
Yeah.
I got 4.5 years. Transport manager got 4 years. And the driver got 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrendous time.
Yeah. And it proves the point, I think, for people who might be tempted, it's not worth it, is it?
No, and I always remember about a year later when we were going through the Proceeds of Crime thing at court, I remember the customs officer saying, his name was Mark Hamill, the same as the guy at Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he said to me, unfortunately, Mason, he said, you have to, in that line of work, you have to be lucky every time. He said, we only have to be lucky once. Yeah. I didn't understand what he meant when he said it, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's exactly how the odds are, you know, and it's so sophisticated now. I mean, those scanners down in Dover, the extra machines that I'm going back, what was that, 20 odd years ago?
Yeah.
And apparently, if they wanted to, they could read the barcode off of a can of Coke
flipping
in your cab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they know exactly what's going on, don't they?
And Yeah.
It's just, no matter how hard up you are, it's just not worth the risk, is it? And like you say, it's not just the impact on yourself, but like you say, your own family, your friends. And again, like if you're a business owner, you know, the entire business and the wider spreading net of that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, and that's probably why it's taken me 20 years to come back and have another go, you know.
Yeah.
It's because that stigma follows you around a bit.
Yeah.
And rightly so. Don't get me wrong. Rightly so, you know.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, a lot of the time, people involved in crime, that's all they ever do, isn't it? So customs are going to assume that you're just going back into it to get back to where to try and make up for lost time or such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get much
exactly that?
Yeah. Do you get much hassle from them now or?
I don't. And it was interesting when I worked for Boyle Transport from about 2013 till about 2018. So about 4.5 years on for Neil. And we went through a stage where I was getting tugged quite a lot. So I complained. And they said it was purely down to the truck being Northern Ireland registered, and it wasn't personal.
Right.
And I haven't, and that, so that was probably 2018. And I can honestly say, I haven't had any problems since then. And interestingly, when I went for my O license, because obviously I had to be 10 years clean of any wrongdoing to get my O license back.
Yeah, to have good repute.
Good repute, yeah. Interestingly, she had the numbers in front of her of the amount of crossings I'd done in the previous 2 years.
Yeah.
And she said to me, she said, you know, it's not unnoted, she said, that you've had no problems with customs and excise with anything. And I thought, well, you know,
you've learned your lesson.
I've learned my lesson. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, when I went for my O license, I was working for another friend who had Romanian registered trucks down in Kent, Darren. And the reason he was Romanian registered was she'd stripped him of his O license. And she made it quite clear that she didn't like Darren almost on a personal level. But it was. So when I was in front of her, she was more interested in. Like who I'd work for.
Yeah.
You know, rather than my record, which was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, she was very fair, because I had a public inquiry to get my O license back.
Right.
Which, you know, that's quite daunting, because that was like being in a courtroom again.
Yeah. Yeah, for a very good reason.
Yeah, but she, you know, in fairness, she did grant it back to me, sort of thing.
Yeah, so when was that, 2018?
I got my O license. That was when I finished for Boyles in 2018. Yeah. Worked for a friend of mine who just started up. He was a director of a big firm in the south of Kent called Salvatore's.
Yes.
And he started up on his own as Elevation Logistics. And when he put his second truck on the road, he said, look, you know, would you do 6 months for me? And Phil Mace is now one of my best friends who runs Elevation. He said to me, you know, you're not going to like it because it's UK. He said, but he said, for the second truck, he said, I just need someone on board that, you know, is going to look after the lorry, going to work hard and, you know, help me if you like.
Yeah.
And I was driving for Boyles at the time, and I come back into Dunkirk one Saturday morning for Neil, and I was the only English lorry on the boat.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Neil and I went, I've had enough of this. I said, you know, I've been surrounded by. And he went, yeah, he said, I get it. He said, and that's why, he said, it's better to go away and come back, go away, come back. So I went and worked for Phil. And Phil kind of put it in my head about being maybe a self-employed driver across the southeast.
Right.
I thought, yeah, maybe I could do that. You know, then you'd be your own boss again. Because we all like being our own boss, I suppose, don't we?
And yeah.
I thought, yeah, that's not a bad idea. So I'd done 6 months for Phil. I went back to Boyles for the winter. And then I spent about a year and a half dodging about for various companies around the southeast. And all the while, all these people were chipping away at my brain going, well, get your own lorry again, get your own lorry again. You know, you go, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say, you know, you've got three or four. And one of my other good friends is a guy called Dominic Salvatore.
Yeah.
And Dom was like, you know, you can use the yard, you know, just put the O license in, see if you get it for a start. Because that was always my get out card. I was like, oh, I wouldn't get an O license, you know, because of my past.
Yeah.
And I remember I put the O license, it's just after Brexit, I put my O license in. I was in Dunkirk for 48 hours trying to clear.
Yeah.
Because that would have been like 2020, just as COVID was setting in. And I thought, yeah, I didn't hear nothing. So that was in the January, and I got my license granted in the October.
Right.
And literally went and rented a truck, a horrendous truck. I rented the wrong truck from the wrong firm, and I know I can't name them on here, but...
Well, what was the truck?
It was a Volvo.
Right.
It was a cheap £350 a week Volvo I rented.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a really, really bad move. And because CVME, our local truck rental firm, didn't have anything because I thought I'll rent for 6 months to see how I get on with how it's going to pan out, you know?
Yeah.
I've rented this truck, Matt. Honestly, I'd done 2 months with it. And when I handed it back, I was close to handing the O license back in. It just ruined me within 2 months.
Was it?
No night heater working. The bunk was, basically the bunk had collapsed and they'd just stuffed it full of foam.
Oh, right.
It had 1,000,000 kilometres on the clock.
Yeah. She'd done a bit then.
Yeah, she had. She'd been to the moon and back and done a Slovenian chaser on the side of it as well. Blimey.
But it still didn't deter you.
No. And I was sitting at home and I got a phone call one Saturday morning from Phil Browning, who owns CVME Truck Rentals. And I've known Phil 25 years. He said, are you still looking for a truck? I said, yeah. He said, we've just managed to buy a batch of 10 ex-maritime trucks. He said, they'll be here next week. And I said, well, I'll pick one up. And yeah. I haven't looked back from that day on. So that was coming up for 4 years ago now.
What was the ex-maritime truck then? Scania or?
No, it's a Volvo, an 18 plate. I mean, I'm a Volvo fan anyway, to be fair. I think that goes, a lot of dad's driving was in an 89.
Yeah.
In an F89 and then Globetrotter. And when I had my own, I brought dad was 60 when I had my own, and I brought him an F12 Globetrotter for his birthday.
Yeah.
Mum thought I was getting him an electric typewriter for some reason. I don't know where she got that from, but.
They're similar. Electric typewriter, yeah. Globetrotter.
Yeah, she said, are you getting your dad that typewriter for his 60th? I said, I'm getting him a Globetrotter. She said, I beg your pardon. He said he wants to retire. No, he doesn't. I said, he's just telling you that.
He hasn't got time to retire.
Exactly that, yeah. I see he's got Piacenza to tip on Tuesday. So, yeah, I've always been a Volvo fan.
Yeah.
So I was quite pleased with that one, and that was a great truck, actually. I had a year with that, and it worked really, really hard, and then it dropped a liner coming out of Bristol.
Yeah.
Fully loaded with a load of compost. And they put me into a 19 plate and a year truck difference, and that truck done 1 mile a gallon more than what the 18 plate did.
Wow.
Yeah. I still don't know why, but that was a good truck. And then obviously I've moved on to the DAF that I've got now.
Were you doing just UK work when you got your license back?
Yeah, I started off in the UK, and then Dominic has got a regular bit of work out of Bordeaux. And he was on holiday, so I covered that for him. I done a Munich for Matt, and I thought, oh, maybe I could start coming back over here again, you know.
Yeah, did you realise you missed it when you went back over?
Yeah, I think I had. And, yeah. You know, especially sort of a bit more distance, you know, I was like, yeah, I could get back into this. And, yeah, you get spells, especially like we've got like the fruit in our area. So like, I know that I'll probably have 6 weeks where I'm running fruit around Kent in the summer.
Yeah.
But that's just because it pays well. And sometimes that has to come first, doesn't it? Rather than me going on a jolly every week.
It does. And that's the long and short of it is you're there to make a profit. It's nice to enjoy yourself. But if you can make more money closer to home, that's unfortunately what you've got to go and do.
Exactly that, yeah.
100%.
What I have done is, over the course of the last couple of years, I've just updated one, actually, but I've got myself my own fridge trailer now, and I've just got a newer Euroliner.
Yeah.
So I can pretty much cover anything anyone needs me to do.
Yeah.
Although I have got a low loader on at the moment. That was for another local haulier I come down to Italy for, Rob Mercer Transport.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a low loader on at the moment. It's horrible. I've got an A-frame right on the back end of it. It's not very good. So I can, the way I see it is I can do anything anyone asks me to. I've got my ADR license. The lorry's all geared up for London.
Yeah.
The fridge has got an FRC on it. So it's not a lot I can't do for anyone.
Yeah, pretty much.
But which I think is a selling point.
Yeah, flexibility.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and we'll go anywhere.
Yeah, provided I'm not away 3 weeks of time.
I will go anywhere as long as it's not too far.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to admit, if I have to turn to page like 67 or something on the European Atlas, I'm probably pricing myself out of the job by that point.
Well, where's your sense of adventure? You called me earlier.
Yeah, I priced up a Portugal about 18 months ago. There's a load of pipes out of Southern Ireland.
Yeah,
going out to this big oil project, and it was over the course of the week running up to Christmas, so it was loading on like the 13th of December, and it's for a friend that doesn't know transport. And I said to him, look, you know, that's going to cost a lot. You know, you're asking me to go to Ireland to load it for a start and then ships, you know, get down to Portugal with it.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah. You know, he said, but we want it done by someone we know, someone, you know, it just has to be done right. There's a way to strap this pipe work. Da, da, da. And I was like, right, okay. But I didn't want to do it, so I priced myself out of the job. And he come back. He was like, yeah, that's good to go. Oh,
damn it. Well, at least I make a profit.
Exactly that. Yeah, I did. And it actually turned out to be a really nice job, you know.
Yeah. My mate had exactly the same thing. He was asked to do a job, didn't want to do it. It emails back and forth. And in the end, he just sort of sent a bit of a snotty email thinking, right, this will get rid of the customer, you know, because I don't want to do it. Right, it's going to cost this, and I can only do it if I do this and this and this. And he thought, right, that'll draw a line under it. Email straight back, brilliant, when can you do it? He's like, oh, damn it. But again, you know, the price he'd put in turned a nice profit. So, and that's, again, that's what it's all about, long and short of it.
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine, he's approaching 70. He's got a Hiab lorry down in our area, Ashford, and, well, Romney Marsh, he is. And Ray's been in transport since he was 16 years old. So he's earned, you know, he's earned the right to say yes and no to work in my eyes. And he's a great guy. And, he happens to him with the Hiab quite a lot. He goes, oh, no, you know, for me to come over and do that one lift, oh, no, it's going to be X amount of pounds.
Yeah.
And, he'll ring me and go, yeah, they've said yes to it.
Yeah. See, it's hauliers, even moaning when they're making profit.
Yeah, I suppose we are the only people that do moan, aren't we? Yeah. It's always struck me that we're the only people that can get prosecuted for working overtime as well.
True, very true. But, you know, as much as we all joke about it, we have to have a set of laws. And no matter what they set up, I mean, I know ours are ridiculous and so overly complicated, but if we didn't have them, the road traffic accident statistics would just be sky high, wouldn't they? Because, as we all know, the amount of people out there who don't care will push you. It happens even now, doesn't it, with, you know, the advancements with digital tachographs and all that. People are still trying to find ways around it. And it does baffle me, to be honest, you know.
The one that gets me is the AdBlue situation. You know, it wasn't that long ago, people were still trying to turn their AdBlue off.
Yeah. I think people still do. You know,
well, it's 39p a litre.
Yeah.
You know, what are we saving here? You know, and if that isn't in the job, then don't, you know, give it up.
Yeah, if you're working, I know margins are tight in transport, and if you can save a bit, but again,
and that, don't forget, that's coming from someone that made the wrong decision about trying to, you know, make money.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. So, yeah,
you know, I look at things and like tyres and that. When I set back up, I had it in my head, if I couldn't do it right, I wasn't going to do it at all.
Yeah, because you'd be tempted to cut corners.
And the only way it never works.
No, that's it. You know, long term, again, if you're going to get caught, same with manipulating tachographs, and like you say, you made the wrong decision and you got caught and you paid for it heavily. And that's the same with any aspect of breaking the law in transport. You know, the odds are against you. It's just not worth bothering with.
No, I mean, I'd love to be sat with a nice 4x2 tractor unit. Because I think they look good.
Oh, and they do, and they ride so much nicer than the six wheeler.
They do, yeah. But, you know, I've got to have a six wheeler.
Yes.
Because, you know, I might be pulling, you used the term earlier on, by the way, ferry trailers. Oh, that term drives me round the bend. What? They're called unaccompanied. They're unaccompanied trailers.
Oh, and I must put in an apology to a very good friend of mine, Michael Button, who. He listens to this, I think, because he knows me, but he By trade, he's boat repairs and maintenance. And when I was speaking to Gav last time, I referred to a ferry as a boat. And he said that give him a tick because a boat is up to, and I'm going to get it wrong, a boat is up to 600 tons and or 900 tons and 60 meters. He said, so it's a ship. It's not a boat. It might be a ferry, but it's a ship. So I do apologise.
I didn't know that. Do you know, I've always wondered what the difference was.
Yeah, the difference is in the size and its weight, apparently. So I did counter-argue and say, well, the Woolwich Ferry is a boat because it's only small. He said, well, I haven't really got to come back to that. But
yeah, because I thought they were called ferries because they carried transport on them.
A ferry can, from what he said, a ferry can be a ship or a boat, but you mustn't refer to a ship as a boat. Essentially, so I did say to him, I put that in. I might have put it in at the end and not the beginning.
You got your apology in though.
So yes, I do apologise. It is an unaccompanied trailer. Yeah. Yes, and not a ferry because the ferry doesn't pull trailers, obviously.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's the only reason I've got a 6x2.
Yes.
Although the DAF I've got, have you seen my DAF?
Yes.
It's got the FTP axle.
Yeah.
And it's hidden by side skirts.
Yeah.
So from the glance, it still looks like a 4x2. So I'm getting that itch scratched for myself. So
yes. Yeah. That's a well, they save about half a ton, isn't it? I think them axles. Were they about?
Yeah. This truck, I'm the third owner of this truck, and the guy that spec'd it. Again, another friend of mine lives in the same town as me, and I rent off of him in the yard. I rent space off of him. When he spec'd it, he had a big catwalk put on it, checker plate catwalk. And I think that's put about a ton back on the truck. I know when it goes in for service, the channels, the lads at Channels there, it takes two of them to move it out of the way.
Flip a leg.
Yeah, it's really thick. But it's got... where it goes over the fuel caps, obviously the fuel caps got locking caps on it, and then I've got the catwalk goes over the top of them, and it's got Allen keys to get into it.
Right.
I haven't had fuel, so I'm saying that touchwood.
Touchwood. Yeah.
I haven't had no problem with fuel.
Veneer in the DAF.
Yeah, veneer in DAF. But I haven't had any problems with fuel in this vehicle, and I think that's probably why, because it's they probably look at it and think, yeah, it's not a quick draw easy for them, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna be a while trying to do that one over. So let's move on.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I will say it's probably saved me, you know. And I don't think I've been overweight at all. You know.
Yeah,
I think the unit's about 8.9 ton empty with about half a tank of fuel in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So still got big tanks.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, well, because it's cheaper in England now, isn't it? Fuel. So
is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
By the time you get your VAT back and that, yeah. Spain's obviously cheap. I think Spain this week's still like 95p a litre.
Right. Because, Italy's always been pretty expensive for fuel, hasn't it, from memory?
Yeah, and now Italy's cheaper than France.
Really?
Yeah, I think Italy at the moment on my DKV is about 120 a litre.
Yeah.
And I've got that system set up with DKV that... their sister company gets my VAT back. Well, they do all my VAT reclaim, actually, DKV.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be a bit of a godsend.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. See, that's another thing about, you know, setting back up again. It's going to getting all these fuel companies to get you up and running, you know.
Yes.
As much as I'd encourage anyone to go on their own, and I really, really would, and a friend of ours is just applied for his O-Lars. You know,
yes,
Chris
he
Harris.
Has. Yeah, yeah. Previous guest on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Chris is really good, actually. I had a cup of tea with Chris a couple of weekends ago, and like he didn't realise, you know, like you said, it's just taking time to get everything up and in place, ready.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'd ever, and I would, I'd encourage anyone to have a go if they want to. You know?
I mean, I take my hat off to anybody, especially now, trying to get into it, because that is getting harder and harder. So starting off now, yeah, I'd take my hat off to him. That's a brave decision and a bold one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But I do think as time gets harder, I think if we're honest, we're probably in a recession at the moment, aren't we? Or we're in the starts of one.
Yeah.
But I think it's always that only the strong will survive. And if you can get through the next couple of years, but having said that, people were saying that to me 2 years ago as well. If you can get through the next 2 years, you'll be all right.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you just think, oh, yeah, you know, it's a bit of hard work and a bit of an effort, I shan't bother, you never will. I mean, I've never had that desire to have my own truck or haulage company, I should say. I think I'm quite lucky in a way that I'm quite happy just to work for other people. But I know other people, that's all they've ever wanted to do, or that's all they've ever done. I'd take my hat off.
But you think now, Matt, you've also got other things going on now, like the podcasts and that you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not a one trick pony even now, are you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose so. Think about it like that.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Because you're just doing it, you don't realise what you're taking on board, do you? I suppose.
No, that's true.
You just roll with it, don't you?
Yeah, and the weeks just fly past, and I still don't seem to get half the stuff done that I wanted to or planned to do, and like phone calls and things. It just, yeah.
How long we've been planning this?
It's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's me still having that belief in transport that I'm going to finish at 6 o'clock on a Friday. After 30 years, to still have that belief, I must be doing something right or wrong. I don't know.
The eternal optimist in you.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that happens to everyone in transport, doesn't it? Everyone's off the road and done by 6 o'clock on a Friday night.
Of course, all pumped up by 6 o'clock.
Yeah. How it should be.
Exactly. I pulled in here exactly 5 to 10 last night.
Blimey.
I went running in, and I was like, okay to eat. I did phone ahead. She said, yeah, you know, we finish at 10:30.
Yeah.
And I was smiling to myself as I was sitting there. I was like, Why are I at home?
Because you love Italy.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. We got a friend's twin daughter's 21st birthday party tonight, and I was thinking, I should have been at home for that. Then I thought about being in the local with a load of 21-year-old kids getting loopy tonight and thought, I'm probably better off out here.
Yeah, it'll certainly be quieter, won't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I want to say to him, 21 years old, I was driving a truck in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I do think back sometimes and think, how many 18-year-olds would want to be driving a van across Europe now?
Probably not many, I would say. I think there's certainly a few, because there's, you know, there's obviously people involved in transport who've got children who want to get into it. It's probably a lot harder now as well, because from what I understand, kids can't just leave school and get a job, I don't think. I think they've kind of got to have an apprenticeship or something or other.
Yeah.
And just think, well, you know, why? I mean, what kind of apprenticeship can you get as a van driver? I don't know. There must be one out there somehow. You know,
I just hope that if there is someone 18 driving a van now, I just hope that he's still out doing it when he's approaching his 50th birthday.
Yeah, and good enjoy luck it. To him. And enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, I might have sounded like I was moaning about it, but I'm living my best life, mate. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the hustle and bustle of it all. Yeah. It's not a job to me. It's a way of life, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. And if it's not a way of life, I think you're in the wrong job, potentially.
Yeah, definitely. 100% right. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, well, I think I've taken up enough of your time, Mason, and I better get on with some of my chores.
Yep, I suppose I better make a decision whether I'm staying here or going to France.
As the Clash once sang, should you stay or should you go?
I think I'm going to stay.
Fair enough. Well, on that note, I'll bid you a happy weekend.
Cheers, Matt. Take care. Look after yourself.
And you, Mason. Speak to you soon. Thanks a lot. Ta-da.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.